sí. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 227, the stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord of hosts, how lovely thy tabernacles are. For them my heart is yearning in banishment afar. And what follows? Psalter 227, the stanzas 1 and 2. portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the Song of Solomon and thereof chapter 2. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under a shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the window, as shown himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. most merciful Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it is thy good and gracious hand that has gathered us for the second time upon this Lord's Day within thy house of prayer. May it also be a house of thanksgiving, where thy mercies have been multiplied also in this day and our Lord. Then we have to confess that we take so much for granted that we find it all so normal. If we had a deeper and a more profound impression of our sins, the exceeding sinfulness of sin and what we deserve, then there would be those moments that we would become so small and so humble to be given to be wonder all thy patient long suffering over us and our children. Ah, Lord, wilt thou grant it in this afternoon hour? And those are blessings which we cannot make. We cannot give it to ourselves, to our fellow man. But those are blessings which thy dear Son has merited for his church, and which he grants by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. Ah, Lord, wilt thou then do it in this hour? Then it would be a good service indeed, and then thy name would be glorified. Wilt thou bless what was heard in this morning hour? And we humbly beg of thee that thou would bless thy word in this afternoon hour, O Lord. There are still so many among young and old that are traveling to that broad way to destruction. And if thou dost not intervene by thy grace, then they are forever lost and forever undone. And to that end, O King of the Church, may it please thee in this hour to place arrows upon thy bow, prepared arrows dipped in thy love and in thy blood, and to shoot them into the hearts of the king's enemies, that they would be wounded on the battlefield of free and sovereign grace, that they may be turned about, that they may set their face in words. Then they shall become a true seeker and to experience the blessed things of the Lord. Lord, spare that we build not upon sandy foundations. Wilt thou remember thy children in this afternoon hour? Thou also knowest how they have come up, Thou knowest where they are encamped. May there have come up souls in this afternoon hour with particular desires and a particular request. May thy word be blessed for instruction, for comfort, encouragement, edification, and also correction. Oh, it is the work of thy blessed Spirit to make room in the hearts of poor sinners for that only name given under heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the pardoning of their sins. Lord, do remember this people. Remember the consistory, thy servant. Wilt thou help him in this afternoon hour in another place, that he may be carried upon the wings of prayer, and that the labors may be blessed. The prophet has declared, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Lord, we commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. Remember the established congregations. Many are vacant. May it please thee to grant more servants and also teachers for our Christian schools. Oh, do uphold, and thou shalt uphold, the persecuted church, where there are so many places upon the earth where thy church cannot gather freely, and many are in prison. We commend unto thee the Jewish people. May the time be hastened that the veil is removed, not only in the way of understanding, but above all in the way of experience, that the promised Messiah has come, that he sitteth at thy right hand, and from thence he is gathering Jew and Gentile. We commend all mission work unto thee, also our mission field, and it shall be a solemn week, where one of thy servants from the mission board, together with the administrator, hope to travel to our mission field. There shall be special gatherings with the intent that there may come another established congregation, Lord. May it be carried upon the wings of prayer, and may it all prosper in thy hand, if it may be according to thy holy will. And to that end we humbly beg of thee, that thou may guide the voting, that thou may grant men, above all men that know of the things of the Lord, that are able and willing to serve in thy vineyard. Lord, we commend unto thee the special needs in the midst of this people. Do continue to uphold all the mourning ones. Remember the elderly ones. Remember all under the physician's care in special ways. And do remember the unborn. O Lord, thou knowest the great concern, the life in the hearts of a family circle. Then we humbly ask thee, wilt thou remember them? Remember all the family circles. May love abound. May thy word have a central place. We commend unto thee all the crosses and the burdens Wilt thou continue to provide for their daily bread, Lord? Remember the nations of the earth, also the United States of America, where there was an attempt to assassinate a former president that was wonderfully spared. May he be humbled. May it be for the saving of a soul. And may it be in a way of mercy for the welfare of that large country where elections have been planned, and that in the way of thy mercy, that thy judgments may yet be postponed, O Lord. Do also remember our poor country, the leaders, federally, provincially. Remember also the council of this town. Lord, we humbly ask thee for the opening of thy precious testimony. Give liberty, may it be with joy, to declare the wonderful things of the Lord. May thy word go forth with power divine, O Lord. Do go from bench to bench and from heart to heart. Leave not cold, untouched, and unmoved. O Lord, thou knowest how hard our heart has become through our deep fall, but thou hast promised thy special presence in thy house, where two or three are gathered in my name. There I am in the midst of them. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 164, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste, an exile in this desert waste. And what follows, Psalter 164, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
in this afternoon hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in the Song of Solomon, the second chapter, and there of the third verse, where God's word and our text reads thus: "As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under a shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste." Our text words speak of Christ as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. With three thoughts in the first place, the remarkable place of this apple tree. Secondly, the delightful shade of this apple tree. And in the third place, the sweet fruits of this apple tree. Christ as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. The remarkable place, the delightful shade, and the sweet fruits of this apple tree. Beloved hearers, our text words speak of a shadow, of a shade. This past week, maybe boys and girls, you have even thought about it. With the warmth, with the sun, maybe you were working in the garden, pulling weeds or other things, and then there is a desire for a shade from the hot sun. Then maybe you have even thought, what if there would now be no shade, and we would have to be in the burning sun the whole day? Have you thought a little further, not only boys and girls, but also older ones, of a need for a shade, a place of refuge? Have you perhaps thought of that place where the unconverted and lost shall go, where there shall never be a shadow, never a shade? And we read in Luke 16 in a parable that there shall not even be water to cool our tongue. In our text words, then we read of a traveler under the sun that is seeking for a place of shade. Then also in this afternoon, children, then we pictured every family traveling on a pathway. But now there is a great difference, because I read in Matthew 7, the verses 13 and 14, that there is spoken of two peoples, two ways, and two destinations. Which way are you traveling upon? Has that become our concern? Then by nature, of course, still a blessing, when there may be a speaking conscience, and that we are given to beg the Lord for that one thing needful, and now it is necessary that by a wonder from heaven that we are taken, and boys and girls, ask that that may take place early, that he may take possession of your young heart when you were very small, and that he takes you off that broad way that goeth to hell, and that he places you on that narrow way that goeth to heaven. Our text words have been taken from the Song of Solomon, which speaks of Solomon and his bride and a type of Christ at Anna's church. And then we find distinction in the Song of Solomon concerning the daughters of Jerusalem and concerning the bride. And people of God, how far may we now come? Because a daughter is not born as a bride, but born as a helpless little child. And children, what do little children do? They cry. It is true. The one child is fussier than the other. The one cries more. But they all cry. There needs to be a beginning in our life. Wrought upon by irresistible grace, and that we receive those spiritual desires. And I read in 1 Peter 2 verse 2, then we desire the milk of the sincere word of God. But now it is necessary that those daughters grow up. And then what do little daughters do? They play. We read thereof in Zechariah 8, the verses 4, 5, and 6, of those boys and girls playing in the streets of Jerusalem. It's what we need in the congregation. Needs to be that beginning, that first time, when the Lord sheds his love abroad in our heart and given to rejoice in the things of the Lord. But when you have daughters, then they must not continue to play. They must grow up. Peter has admonished the church in 2 Peter 3 verse 18 to grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now daughters, they come of age, that they desire to receive a husband. And so those spiritual daughters, with everything they have experienced, and young people, when we are given to experience those things, and shall be seen, and then we are spoiled for the world. It all becomes real. God and our sin. But now it is the work of the Spirit as that spiritual Ebenezer to uncover those daughters more and more to their depth. And then they learn with all their playing and with all that they have experienced that they are a sinner still, and what else? Only becoming a greater sinner. Are there souls that understand it? Are you still playing in the world? Hope the Lord may still restrain you. But shall it be well for that never-ending eternity, then we need to experience the wonders of grace. Oh, to be a daughter, and then to become older, to desire a husband, and then what an eternal wonder and blessing it becomes when the gospel may be opened and the bridegroom of the Song of Solomon may be revealed in his necessity, in his suitability, and in his preciousness. And then a further wonder, we make it simple in this afternoon, that our young people can also understand it. When a daughter's eye falls upon a certain man, when that man will ask to keep company to court, oh, for those daughters, those precious invitations, then they are given to rejoice with unspeakable rejoicing. But then they are not yet the bride. Oh, then the further leadings, when they may become engaged, when the bridegroom gives a special promise that they are hers, and then further, the day of marriage, when everything becomes one, all for those daughters. Because the bridegroom of the Song of Solomon, he does not marry a daughter with a white wedding dress. But we read in chapter 1, the verses 5 and 6, that she is black. Have we learned it, people, that we are so black and so sinful, and that with all our efforts that we cannot satisfy justice, that we need that blessed bridegroom. Oh, the day of marriage that refers to justification in the court of conscience, because then what takes place in marriage, then all the debt of that bride is taken over by the blessed bridegroom. He has satisfied justice, and then the merited righteousness of Christ that is imputed to the sinner to receive the marriage license, the sealing work of the Holy Spirit, and then for the bride to become fruitful through the bridegroom, to serve him with all her gifts which she has received from above. People of God, how far may you come with a daughter? Our old people used to say, where does the wagon now stand still? Because the Lord has a people upon this earth, also in God's house, that there are those times that they may hear what they have received, given to rejoice, but also given to hear what they miss. And now for those true daughters, when the missing may become greater than their possession, then there is room for the great bridegroom to grant another benefit and another leading. In the Song of Solomon, then there are many figures used, many types. And now in our chapter, then we have the daughter traveling with a need. Many times in the song, or different times in the Song of Solomon, it is even difficult to discern sometime whether the bridegroom is speaking or the bride. And that is declared in Romans 8, verse 29, because the bride becomes conformable to the image of Christ. And then we read in this chapter, in the first verse, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. And among commentators, there are different thoughts. Who was speaking seems to be Christ, that he is speaking of himself. And then in verse 2, then Christ continues to speak, but then he speaks of those daughters. And now in our text words, then we have the daughter's reply, speaking concerning her experience and concerning her beloved. When we read the Song of Solomon, then we read so oftentimes that they are given to praise one another. And let us remember the Song of Solomon, that is also given for practical instruction in marriage. Then it is needful that young couples do not only compliment one another in the time of courtship, but that continues when they are married, to be given to also encourage one another. And now when we read in our text words, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so was my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. Then we have the daughter as a traveler. She has left the city of destruction. Her eyes have been opened to given to see that that city would be burnt up. Same thing as Christian in Pilgrim's Progress. And then we read in Hosea 2 verse 14, I will allure her in congregation. There is not one in our midst that can withstand that alluring work of the Holy Spirit. It's not one that can resist love. And then needful to faithfully place herself under the means of grace, where the Lord's presence is especially promised in his holy word. I will allure her and lead her into the wilderness. You can picture it, boys and girls. The traveler, the wilderness, and then the scorching sun. The desert, it becomes much hotter than in southern Alberta. And then the needs of those travelers. Then they need water. We have sung thereof out of Psalm 63. The desires of the living church. What does our heart go out after? And there are many precious things in this world that we may desire, that we may enjoy, but it's that where it stops. After all the temporal desires, is there a period? Or has the Lord also wrought spiritual desires? And those daughters, their life and their heart is declared in God's word. Oh, they find their life in the Beatitudes. But those travelers, oh, what can be such a mysterious way? We read in Exodus 13, verse 18, that when the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt, that they were led a roundabout way. the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. That people can have so many questions and riddles. Are there such souls in my midst? Christendom in our day, they know exactly how it all needs to go, and it is true when we are brought up under the truth. Then we can try to tell the Lord how he must convert us. But the Lord always leads in ways that the sinner may be humbled and that God's great and worthy name may be glorified. And now it is implied in our text words that the daughter, that she has come upon a forest. That's a great encouragement for those travelers under that scorching sun, the water running out, hungry, and many boys and girls, they have died in the desert. But now in the distance, she may see a forest, it is true. The Lord encourages his people in the desert when there may be a cloud, maybe boys and girls this past week with the heat. Then there has come some clouds and then we felt quite a bit cooler, a comfort. And so the Lord, he also encourages his people with those clouds of encouragement, but still traveling. And now they have come upon a forest. And that is a forest of the means of grace. Ah, the world, on their journey, they also look for comforts. We are all seeking for happiness. Oh, the world, the one, maybe a bar, another one, a theater, a circus, a fair, a beach, where there is no attention paid to the admonishments concerning modesty. You can multiply it out. Can also compare open internet to a forest. And then how many souls disappointed, because in the world and sinful things, I repeat it, the Lord granteth many things upon this earth which we may liberally enjoy. But may the Lord also keep us and our children from all the vanities, the world conformity, and that we may be more praying people, oh, to become and to experience what the bride in the Song of Solomon, first the daughter, chapter 3, she was married to become the bride of the greater bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you can understand that the traveler has rejoiced greatly when she has come to that forest. And then it is implied in our text words that there were many trees, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. Thus that implies that in that forest there were many different trees. And those trees, a blessing profitable. Boys and girls, when we walk through a forest, many different kinds of trees. And then we may admire the wonderful creation of God when we look at those trees. And so the Lord also grants to those daughters those trees of God's providence, His wonderful leadings, not a foundation for eternity, but what an encouragement it can grant to His people. Then maybe the stately cedars so straight. Do we not read in Mark 8 of a man that was blind? And Jesus has begun to open his eyes, and then he was given to see that he saw people walking as trees. When the Lord converts us, especially when we are young, and when there may be God's people bearing the image of Christ, a tender, a close, a holy life. Then in the life, and that's what our youth needs, examples that they may be jealous of, that it reflects the tender fear and trusting in the Lord. Then such a young person can even think, although God's people, they are given to complain much of that inner man. Think of Romans 7. But then there can be young people that see him as trees walking. There can be those stately oaks, other trees, where there are seeds, acorns on the ground, can give a certain shade, but does not satisfy the need of the daughter, because she needs a perfect shade, she needs food, and she needs drink. And now you can picture children, the daughter, with great rejoicing, has come to the forest, and then has walked through that forest to enjoy those trees. Lord grants many blessings to his true people. But with all those trees, not sufficient shade perhaps, and not satisfaction for her thirst. And then suddenly in the forest, walking through all those tall trees, then it seemed she came upon a spot where there was a singular apple tree, only one. And it even says in our text, the apple tree. Oh, that apple tree is a general rule. Then we find apple trees in an orchard, or in Bible times called a garden. But this apple tree was found in the midst of the forest. It was a singular apple tree. It was the apple tree. A beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. An apple tree, as a general rule, is planted, grafted. Oh, the Father. John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but of everlasting life. And we read in 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, one God and one mediator between God and man, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this apple tree, not found on private property, but found on public property. That means that the apple tree was planted, that every traveler may freely sit under and pluck the fruits of this apple tree. It is the work of the Spirit to reveal the apple tree. Has that need ever been born in our heart? For the apple tree, the beloved Son of God, that we may be saved. I read in Isaiah 53 verse 2, that none esteemed him, no beauty, that we should desire him. Do we not read in John 1 verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And then, of course, boys and girls can understand it. Then this traveler, our daughter, she had eyes, spiritual eyes, was in the daytime, the night. You would not see the apple tree and the beauty thereof. Oh, what an encouragement it was for our traveler that she has come upon such an apple tree, so necessary, so suitable, and so precious. But then more was needed, because just seeing the apple tree with those apples, with those fruits, that would not suffice. Then it was necessary what we read in our text. So was my beloved among the sons, I sat down under his shadow with great delight. Oh, that apple tree among the trees of the forest. Think of Psalm 45. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured out upon thy lips. Ah, those daughters, they are so timid. They write many bitter things against themselves. We shall not go into it. But to that end, concerning that apple tree, what precious invitations are written concerning the Lord, his Son, but also with a special address. And not to misunderstand it. Because congregation, all may come and sit under that apple tree. Every boy and girl, youth and older one. But by nature, none will come. It's a solemn truth. Psalm 14, verse 2. Lord has looked down upon the children of men. That includes Fort McLeod. If there were any that sought God, and there were none. None that understood. But now the wonder of grace. Maybe you can remember it. All may come. You go lost congregation, it's your own fault that you refuse to come to this apple tree as a poor beggar, as a sinner, to be saved. None will come, but now the eternal wonder. By the irresistible grace, the almighty power, and the drawing work of the Holy Spirit, there is a church that shall come. I read in John 6, verse 37, all that the Father hath given me will come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Because congregation, we do not have one example in the Bible of a poor sinner, a black sinner, a needy sinner that has come and that has been sent away. It is true, the Lord tests the faith of his people. He makes them wait, that the desire becomes more urgent. And now concerning the sitting under this apple tree, that an apple tree has much lower branches, especially in older days when there were those large apple trees, then many times the branches laden with fruit, they hung to the ground. Oh, then what a special place. Because those true daughters, many times they desire a place of seclusion, just like Nathaniel in John 1, where they may meditate, where they may beg, freely pour out their heart, let the tears run freely, and to be given to beg for tokens of the Lord. And then we read, I sat down under his shadow with great delight. And that word delight, that is also sometimes translated to desire. Thus it was a delight, it was a desire. And then when the daughter has seen the suitability of that apple tree, then she has sat under that apple tree in its shade. Are there souls in my midst that need shade, a place of refuge, a hiding place? Then I ask you, what do you need shade from? God's people can tell. Particular matters. Oh, then in the first place, they need shade from that scorching sun. They need a shade from the wrath of God. Because the Lord outside of Christ, he is a consuming fire. Lord is long-suffering, patient, but now a demanding justice. Oh, under that apple tree, then there is such a precious shade. How is that possible? Because the Lord is so just that he cannot overlook one of your sins. Every sin, thought, word, and deed, must be punished. And does the Lord now overlook his justice? No. Oh, then our apple tree and our text. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And Christ is that apple tree. Oh, then the lightning and thunder of Mount Sinai. Maybe boys and girls, the other evening, when you looked up north, then you saw much lightning from the heavens to the earth. And now fire is an emblem of the justice of God. And now the thunder and lightning of Mount Sinai that has all come upon the tree. Christ has compared himself to a tree. When he has spoken to the daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, for yourselves and for your children. If they do these things unto a green tree, what shall be done unto the dry? But Christ, as the willing servant of the Father, he has taken all the sins of his black bride, and he has endured the punishment. And to that end, the church may sit with such a delight under the shadow of the apple tree. What else does those daughters need shadow from? From a demanding law. Because that law demands perfect obedience. What else? They need shelter from the assaults of the devil. True child of God, what a trouble they could have with the devil does not mean, must not make the mistake, that when we have troubles with temptation and with the devil, hope you do, my unconverted fellow travelers, but that by itself is not a mark of grace. We need the love shed abroad in our heart. But oh, the true child of God, and more so, office bears, oh, the wiles and the fiery darts of the Prince of Darkness. But when they may now be given to sit under the shadow, boys and girls, you can picture the apple tree. There they may find a place of refuge. We read of a place of refuge many times in the scriptures. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, so hidden for mankind, needs to be revealed. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let us sing. Psalter 248. Let us only sing the first three stanzas. The man who once has found abode within the secret place of God shall with Almighty God abide and in his shadow safely hide. 348, only the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
Christ as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. The remarkable place, the delightful shade, and now thirdly, the sweet fruits of this apple tree. And then we have stated that the wrath of the Father has come upon the apple tree. The lightning, the thunder has completely destroyed. Christ has died. He was laid in the tomb. But on the third day, he was risen to be the living apple tree, to be a continual apple tree. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And now concerning that apple tree, what precious invitations. Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. Be ye safe, for I am God, and there is none else. Is there a soul at the end of the earth to experience what it is, so hopeless? No way of self, and yet, oh, a traveler can be that they think it is better to give it up. No place for me. But then what a precious invitation. And we do not read, boys and girls, that around this apple tree there has stood one concerning a price, was all free. Isaiah 55, verse 1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, buying wine and milk without money and without price. Oh, concerning this apple tree, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. What a blessed place when the true child may receive not only rest, but given to see that apple tree that is much more than a cloud and one of those tall trees, but the apple tree appointed and given by the Lord. Then you can picture it, boys and girls, a weary traveler finding shade under the branches, nice and cool, delightful. Then we can picture the daughter that she has folded her hands and praised and thanked the Lord, also the work of the Spirit. But what else does such a one need? And such a one also needs drink and food. And now we read in our text words, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. We read in Psalm 119, verse 103, how sweet are thy words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. And now concerning these fruits, where's the first place in the Bible, boys and girls, that we read of a tree and fruits? That's in Genesis 2 and Genesis 3. And then Adam and Eve, covenant head, has taken of that forbidden fruit, and the poison of that fruit has permeated all the members of our body. And we read in Genesis 2, verse 17, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And now the Lord, the work of a triune God, has provided another fruit for the healing those that are appointed unto death. And then we read, when we read of those fruits, it is true, the moment of regeneration, the Lord grants faith, hope, and love, also fruits that are merited by Christ in the state of his humiliation, and given in the state of his exaltation by the work of a spirit. But then we may make a distinction with those three graces. As it were, it was the hand, because our children can understand it. We can have an apple tree, and we can see all those juicy apples, those juicy fruits. But with seeing them, then our thirst is not satisfied. It even becomes greater. Are there souls that understand it? When God's word may be opened, we have it in this chapter, to not awake his love till he please. And now the hand of faith, that they may be given to stretch them forth and to pluck a juicy apple and to eat that apple. Oh, then you can understand for such a one what a satisfaction and what a delight. There are some fruits that are higher up on that apple tree. Then we may also speak of the promises. Thomas Watson has stated in a certain place that that apple tree that needs to be shaken by prayer, that some of those apples will drop to the ground for those sitting underneath. Reverend Rolf Erskine, he has written in a certain place that that tree is given to drop its fruit through the preaching of the word of God. And now those fruits, they are so precious, and they are so suitable. What are now some of those fruits? People of God, tell me. What are now some of those fruits? Of course, there is a difference between tasting of those fruits. It is also necessary for the soul that they come to a knowledge where the fruits come from. Oh, the fruit. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. Godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance, not to be repented of. That is a fruit so sorely needed in our day. It's when the Spirit works, people cannot remain hidden, shall be seen that we have become a traveler. It is true that all people of God have said, the Lord does have a people that walks more with a lantern upon their back. But if you ask now those souls about that fruit of godly sorrow, then they can explain it. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The fruit of that liberty at the throne of grace. What a precious and necessary fruit. The fruit of justification, the fruit of sanctification. Oh, that fruit. Sweet communion, Lord, with Thee. That fruit of that childlike trust that the Lord shall never forsake, the work of His own hands, the fruit of humility, the fruit of courage, the fruit of thankfulness. Do we not read in Romans 12, verse 11, verse 36, of Him, through Him, and to Him be all things. Those fruits, they are explained in Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Oh, that apple tree that is not like the gourd of Jonah, come up quickly and fade away. No, that is an everlasting tree. The Lord shall never forsake the work of His own hands. And it is true. The traveler knows what it is in the further leadings to sit under that tree and to eat of those fruits. But we do read of the children of Israel that the journey went further. And when we read in our text words the confession of the daughter concerning the apple tree, then you can understand, you know what that people desire, congregation? That everyone in the midst of the congregation, not one excluded, that they all may become such a traveler with those living desires and to find no rest, because young and old, there is still room under that apple tree. The Lord is still calling, and the blessings, oh, that peace with God. And then it is the desire of such ones, it is true, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, oh, to declare the blessedness of that apple tree, that there is still room, the need to receive a place, and that the Lord may receive all the honor and the glory. Young and old, how is it with us? We have begun with two ways. Which way are you on? And then God's word gives the answer. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, do faithfully use the means of grace. Forsake the world. Repent. Call upon the Lord that he may arrest you, that he may turn you, and that you may be given to experience the wonderful works of the Lord. Our text speaks of the apple tree as a type of the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a time that there is so much resting outside of the rest where the Father has rested in the finished work of his dear Son, the need to be brought to a saving knowledge of the apple tree, to be given to experience sitting under its shade, and also to eat of those tasty fruits. All concerning, also in this chapter, many precious things, but then also the calling. Oh, my dove that art in the cleft of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Ah, those doves, they write bitter things against themselves, so discouraged, so many riddles. Let me hear thy voice, see thy countenance, for thy voice is sweet, and thy countenance is comely. There is room under the apple tree. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may each and every one be given to examine their hearts, to what people we belong, what pathway we are traveling, and our eternal destination, with a profound impression that each Lord's Day that we come up to thy courts, that it could even be the last. Wilt thou remember in the furtherance of this Lord's Day, may it be kept holy. Wilt thou remember in the week which we have commenced, remember the mothers with the children in the home, all at work on the way, wherever we are called to be. Take us under thy good care and thy kind protection. Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation. Grant a prayer for one another. Work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Spirit. Grant now traveling mercies, and pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 292, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Wandering in the wilderness, far they roamed the desert way, found no settled dwelling place, were in peace secure to stay. And what follows, Psalter 292, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. receive the blessing of the Lord and the pardon peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.